former legislator himself, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, your initial thoughts of Governor Tony Evers' speech tonight?
Well, they're more in line with, you know, what you and I were talking about before, that you would have liked to have seen a different tone from the governor, one that was more, you know, welcoming toward Republicans, trying to attract more support. It was another Tony Evers speech, which was unabashedly Democratic. Of course, there's nothing wrong with that, but there were no lines that were specifically designed to attract Republican cheering. Instead, it was lines that would make Republicans look silly by sitting there and not applauding some basic priorities. But that's because they were wrapped up in some of the same proposals that Governor Evers has made time and time again. If you're an Evers fan, that's great. He again promised to try to restore Roe v. Wade, veto every LGBTQ attack. But basically, there wasn't anything there that was going to change the circumstance. So any pressure on those swing district Republicans that I talked about before the speech is going to have to come organically from constituents and others. It's not going to necessarily be an olive branch from the governor.
To your point, Pat, I mean, some of these things, such as the $5 million for cutting contaminants in wells, $66 million for victims of crime, calling on supporting hunting and trapping in the state with reasonable things like, you know, background checks and red flag laws. I mean, to paraphrase Andre Jacques' brother a little bit here, if you can't be for kids, what the heck can you be for, Pat?
Everything that you say is true. It's just that, again, the governor delivers it in a way that says, you know, guys, come on, we should be able to agree on this. When at this point, after this many years, I think the only message that would get through would be one that is, you know, much more aggressive, apparently, you know, essentially shaming them, if you will, saying, how dare you allow water to still be polluted with PFAS chemicals while you sit on this money? How dare you keep our kids from getting the money that they need to read better by holding on to that literacy money and really take it to them that way, either. But the approach that we've got so far is the same tried and true Evers approach. It's worked for him for two elections, but I don't see that this next state budget is going to unfold any differently than the others.
The rest of our team, hang on just one second. Our great producer, Aaron Zomers, is giving me the high sign to stay in compliance with the FCC. As the late, great Bob Uecker once said, we pause now for station identification. You're listening not to the Brewers Radio Network, but Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee, WMDX Columbus, Madison, WGBW Green Bay, WISS Oshkosh, WZBU New Holstein, WLCX La Crosse, WLAK Amory, WBZH Hayward, WRCE Richland Center, WXEO Wausau, and WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Back to our post-game show here of the seventh state of the state of Governor Tony Evers. We are awaiting the Republican response, which will be given by Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss. We are awaiting that. We will go to it at any minute. But while we wait for that, I want to go to our political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate a little bit on this speech. Dan, your thoughts, these knee-jerk after the conclusion of this speech.
You know, I thought it was an interesting speech, and I thought it would obviously, you know, broke down a lot of the typical priorities that you might hear from a Democratic governor, just as Pat mentioned. But I think, you know, pulling out a couple interesting points there, he spent a lot of time talking about suicide prevention. And I thought that, you know, that is not necessarily the type of partisan issue that we really hear about in a typical political speech. But, you know, I thought one of the most powerful moments of the speech was acknowledging the widow of the late Jonathan Brostoff, who was a state representative for a long time in Madison, also a member of the Milwaukee Common Council, who died by suicide last year. And you know, acknowledging that and acknowledging that this is a major problem throughout Wisconsin, death by suicide and death by firearm suicide, and it introducing some new proposals and programs to address that. You know, again, this is, you know, he's going to talk about things like reproductive rights. He's going to talk about protecting the talk about the Affordable Care Act, going to talk about a number of other Democratic priorities. But I think this isn't necessarily one of those things that we think of as a partisan issue. And I think it is important that Evers is putting this front and center in a speech like this at this moment, to really try to get some movement on this type of issue.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I thought it was probably, in my opinion, the most poignant moment of the speech. We actually have that clip. We're going to play it for you in just a minute. Pat Kreitlow, we want to be respectful of your time. We know you have to be up in a matter of hours for another great edition of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. As we prepare here to hear from Robin Voss, the Republican response, your final thoughts on that in about 30 seconds are telling me.
Just that what we talked about again before about whether he would take a swipe at the Trump administration in some way or another. And I'm sure that the immigration remarks were added at the last minute, talking about their only transgression being the misfortune of not being born in this country. And to be honest, we have already we have always relied on immigrant labor, and we could do better by them.
Thank you, Pat. We'll see you at 6 in the morning to Up North News Radio, and the rest of our team will get to you in just a minute. But first of all, we want to pause now and bring you the Republican response tonight, delivered by Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Voss.
Hello, I'm Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. On behalf of the legislature, it's my honor to give the Republican response to tonight's State of the State address. This week has been exciting as we watch the peaceful transfer of power in our nation's capital. However, far too many Americans believe the only place that policies are made is in Washington, D.C. While I'm excited for the changes President Trump and his administration will make to many federal policies, inflation, rising rents, and increasing food prices have hurt our families for the last 4 years, and elected officials in Madison must also address the state policies that have created the same challenges. The speech tonight was Governor Evers' 7th State of the State address, where he largely delivered the same tired rhetoric he's presented the other 6 times he's given this same speech. Year after year, we hear the same lip service about wanting to work together, and then, unfortunately, he rarely follows through. My hope tonight is that, unlike the past 7 times, Governor Evers is actually serious about finding common ground with legislative Republicans. First, let's talk about taxes. Cutting them remains the primary objective for legislative Republicans. We have the largest one-time surplus in state history, and instead of talking about how to return that money to working families tonight, Governor Evers prioritized adding more spending and growing the size of government. The fact is, a surplus of this size only exists because over a year ago, Governor Evers vetoed a tax cut that would have returned around $1,000 to every family in Wisconsin. That tax cut would have helped those families as they struggle to keep up with rising costs. Instead, he alone decided it was better for government to keep your money. Tonight, Republicans stand united in returning that money to you, the taxpayers. And we will give Governor Evers another chance to do the same. We propose to return it to those who are hardworking retirees in need of a much-needed income tax exemption. And we will also look for ways to hold down your property taxes and help struggling young families. Next, while we heard tonight about another education plan to write a blank check to our schools, Republicans will focus on increasing standards and demanding accountability. Right now, only 48% of students in Wisconsin are even reading at grade level. This is absolutely unacceptable, and it has to change. Our reading crisis is not just limited to our biggest school districts, however. It exists in districts all across the state, both large and small. According to Wisconsin's Department of Public Instruction's own data, only 37% of students were proficient in English in 2022. There was little progress in the next year, with only 39% of students testing proficient. DPI says that we're doing better now, but it's only because they significantly lowered the standards to inflate the results. Make no mistake, our education system is doing an enormous disservice to our students. We will not allow the Department of Public Instruction to shortchange our students by lowering our standards. Republicans will enact legislation to require the Forward Exam to be aligned with the National Assessment of Educational Progress. This will bring our standards back to the baseline before DPI artificially inflated them. It will also allow parents to compare the past with the present. Recently, Governor Evers even said in a statement, quote, "We need to have as high of standards as possible," unquote. He's right. Hopefully this will be a place where the legislature and Governor Evers can actually find common ground to come together with a solution to this growing failure in K-12 education. Finally, we will focus on helping President Trump fix the broken immigration system. Every state is a border state when we deal with the challenges presented by illegal immigration. Disappointingly, even tonight, Governor Evers has already said that he will not allow our National Guard troops to help at the border, and his administration has said they will not assist with the deportation of violent criminals. There are too many lawless bureaucrats and politicians pushing dangerous sanctuary policies that jeopardize our public safety here in Wisconsin. This has to stop. Our criminal justice systems and our government programs are already stretched too thin, and they need to focus resources on those who are here legally. Surprising, there is no current statutory requirement for law enforcement to inquire with ICE when an individual's legal status cannot be verified. In fact, some law enforcement agencies, including Dane County, the City of Beloit, and Milwaukee County, have already announced they will not comply with ICE in limited circumstances. Republicans will pass legislation requiring all law enforcement in Wisconsin to cooperate with the Immigration Service to deport those who commit a serious crime and are being held in our jails or our prisons. The ideas I've just discussed in this brief response are common sense and have broad public support. Everyone, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, should be able to rally around the idea of fighting inflation, better educational outcomes for our kids, and punishing violent criminals. We heard from tonight, Governor Evers, a long list of things, partisan demands in a way that doesn't bring Wisconsin together. We all know Wisconsin is such a great place to live, work, raise a family, and retire. Our commitment and our promise to you is to keep working to make it even better. Thank you for joining me tonight. God bless you and your family, and God bless the state of Wisconsin.
The Republican response tonight by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss from the Assembly Parlor, which is right on the backside, behind the Assembly Chamber. So a short walk there for the Speaker to get on audio and get on camera there. Want to go back to our team, which is standing by around the state of Wisconsin. I am here at our broadcast center in downtown Madison, a block away from the state capitol. We are joined by political editor and founder of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, also James Kelly, our Northwest Bureau Chief there for Civic Media News, and Lisa Hale, the Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief for Civic Media News. James, let's start with you, because I know this was one of the areas that you were watching tonight, was the Republican response. Your take on this initially, after Robert Voss got done.
Yeah, as expected, he said cutting taxes remains the primary objective for the Republican Party with the largest one-time state surplus in state history. That is definitely something that they've put an added emphasis on in recent weeks after the budget surplus was announced at over $4.5 billion. Again, they're looking for a tax cut of about $2 billion, whether that will happen. Yet to be seen. I also thought it was interesting that he went to actual statistics with student test scores. That's been a topic of controversy in the last couple weeks here, with the level of standards that's been proposed by the Department of Public Instruction. Governor Evers has expressed a similar interest in kind of raising those standards back up again. So I thought it was interesting that they might be able to find a little bit of common ground there. At least that was his hope. And again, immigration. That's a common theme for the Republican Party in the past election, past elections before that. I thought it was interesting that he would be proposing legislation to force local law enforcement officers to comply with ICE.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, James. I know you work for the news department, and our opinion shows will get more into this, I'm sure, tomorrow. But I want to ask you, as someone who lives up in the Chippewa Valley up there, it would seem to me that, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that, you know, quote, undocumented folks, quote unquote, illegal folks are the main cause of crime, at least in Northwest Wisconsin. And also, as a former Republican myself, interesting that Republicans seem to be all about state rights when it comes to letting states choose abortion laws and say, well, let's leave it to the states. But in this one, they want it to be a federal policy and want it one size fits all.
It's funny you mentioned that. If you remember when Vice President J.D. Vance came out to Eau Claire for a visit over the election period, I did ask him about rural hospital access, how their administration would protect access to hospitals for people who may have to drive, say, half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour to the nearest hospital if ones like HSHS close. And the first word out of his mouth was immigration. We have to fix immigration because we're spending too much money on immigrants getting free health care. That is not the case with the HSHS closures. I spoke to Governor Evers and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez later, who both said that Medicaid expansion was the true reason. They just weren't getting enough in reimbursements, and illegal immigration had next to nothing to do with the closures of those hospitals.
Yeah, certainly interesting. Great reporting there. And again, I know you were on the ground with this when both J.D. Vance and Vice President Harris were in the Chippewa Valley there. Appreciate you. Let's go over to our Northeast Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale. Lisa, from you're watching, again, legislative Democrats put forward their agenda. Certainly heard some of those things you previewed for us before the speech in Governor Evers' State of the State address tonight. And I think we just unmute the mic there, Lisa. We'll stand by 1 second.
Sorry.
There we go. That's all good.
We did hear several things that were previewed in the Democrats' package. The lowering costs. What did they call it? Lowering cost, improving lives package, mm-hmm. and the reduction of prescription costs is a big one. Now, he mentioned a $35 cap on insulin, whereas the bills that the Democrats have put forward was a $50 cap on insulin. But that's one of the things that we've been hearing a lot from Democrats all over, even nationally, putting a cap on insulin, cap on insulin, cap on insulin, because it was so expensive for so long to get your insulin. It is one of those things that is needed, but is also extremely expensive. Also, the healthy meals for all, I noticed that he mentioned that, but very briefly that he mentioned the kids eating free in schools. I think he knows that that's a Democrat thing. He knows that's one of those things that the Republicans are going to say, do we really want to pay for all of that when we have low test scores? So we're watching those types of things as well.
I thought your comment about lowering insulin down to $35 a prescription, and also, you know, stopping price gouging, that would seem to me something that plays well. Whoever you voted for at the top of the ticket in November, lots of folks on fixed incomes, particularly seniors, you know, it can cost hundreds of dollars a month for that. That would seem to play well for both sides. But tonight we only saw Democrats standing up when Governor Evers mentioned that.
That is because it's a Democrat talking point. Whenever you're talking about reducing the cost of prescriptions or putting caps on prescriptions, and you're mentioning that over and over, it's a Democrat talking point because it relates to national health. It relates to the DHS. It relates to prescription, big pharma, all of that. So it's a talking point. And that's why you didn't see anybody stand up and say, yes, because it's such a talking point that has been so democratically focused.
You are listening to the post-game show, as we like to call it here on the Civic Media Radio Network, summarizing and kind of analyzing the comments of Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers on his 7th State of the State address and the Republican response from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I want to go back to our political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Dan, you brought this up earlier, and I want to play it for people who might not have heard it, because I agree. I thought it was one of the most poignant parts of Governor Evers' speech tonight. Here is this the point where the governor got very emotional and talking about Jonathan Brastoff, who was a former state legislator who died by suicide. We'll go with the shorter clip, Zommers, on this, but here is the governor's comments talking about this incident and death by suicide and mental health in Wisconsin.
Just 3 years ago, as I delivered my State of the State address, State Representative Jonathan Brastoff sat right there in one of these seats. Jonathan had a heart of service. He was always working to make someone else's life just a little bit better. As a fierce and advocate as Jonathan was, he was still always eager to learn about and understand others in order to bridge divides. At the end of last year, Jonathan died by suicide. For too many Wisconsinites, even if they did not know Jonathan, the story of losing him is their story too. Kathy and I share that story. The families, friends, and co-workers of veterans, farmers, construction workers, and law enforcement officers, and so many others share that story. Kids, classmates, parents, grandparents, loved ones, and friends in every corner of our state, they share that story. This heartache has become far too often. Wisconsin in 2022 reported 932 deaths by suicide, according to Department of Health Services report, nearly 60% of which involved a firearm. These are statistics we cannot change because those are souls we cannot bring back. But there is more we can do today to save lives tomorrow. If you talk to someone whose loved one died by suicide, many will tell you that their loss was not a foregone conclusion. That maybe, just maybe, if the person they loved had just made it through one more dark night to see with certainty that the sun would rise again, things could have ended up differently. Tonight, I am asking this legislature to give the family and the next one and the family after that hope for that same opportunity.
Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media. I thought it was extraordinarily poignant. It was real, clearly emotional. The governor brought up a couple of things. Number one, Wisconsin had a 48-hour waiting period at one time on buying a firearm. He encouraged, he asked, he called for the legislature to restore that. And secondly, again, this would seem to be an issue that we've talked about on different Civic Media programs. I know Matt Nair on air, myself, I believe Maggie Dawn has talked about that our agricultural community, some of the greatest rates of death by suicide by guns is in the ag community. It's not just an urban issue. Again, it would seem to be if people are willing to take the opportunity, a chance to come together.
Absolutely. I think this is the type of non-political issue that I think Wisconsinites can and should come together to take action on. And I think it is important that he, you know, emphasized the impact of firearms in these suicide deaths as well. Like he said, 932 deaths by suicide in 2022 in Wisconsin. That's a tragic number. Mm-hmm. And adding that nearly 60% of those involved a firearm. So in addition to that 48-hour waiting period, he talked about this other new program called the Self-Assigned Firearm Exclusion Program, SAFE, for the acronym there. It would allow Wisconsinites to, quote, temporarily and voluntarily register to prevent themselves from purchasing a firearm. So, you know, this would be it. You know, I know this is something that former Representative Brostoff talked about when he was in the legislature, talking about you know, being proactive about your and self-aware about this as well. And so, you know, perhaps these types of things, if implemented, could truly save lives.
I thought it was also important and notable as someone who grew up in a hunting outdoor community. Governor Evers tonight made a point of saying, look, we in Wisconsin support hunting and trapping and outdoors and that heritage, and we don't want to change that. But again, the things that he's encouraging, background checks, for instance, red flag laws, where people who may be in danger of harming themselves or others, as he gave the example of the California man that was connected tangentially to the shooting here in Madison last month. California has those red flag laws, and apparently his guns were taken out of the house. As a hunter myself, as an outdoors guy, a red flag law, a background check, and a 48-hour waiting period, I don't think there's a hunter worth their salt who would say that's unreasonable.
Yeah, and this kind of goes to another point he was making on this, too. The quote that I think stuck out to me when he was talking about this, the legislature must do better than doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, these two bills that he talked about on closing loopholes for background checks and passing a red flag law. If you go back to Tony Evers' first term in 2019, the first time the gavel in, gavel out approach was taken by legislative Republicans in response to a special session called by the governor was on those same two bills, on universal background checks and passing a red flag law. So, you know, I think he kind of got to this point as well with this, saying that, you know, even if the Republicans and Democrats don't exactly disagree, I think it's important to try to have these discussions and come together instead of gaveling in and gaveling out on those. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it seemed like that was what he was alluding to. And then also saying in this quote as well about the red flag laws in particular, quote, let's give law enforcement and loved ones the tools they need by passing a red flag law here in Wisconsin. And so I think those are the types of common sense, middle of the road discussions that we can have on an issue like this one.
Pat Kreitlow mentioned it before he signed off with us earlier. The fact that perhaps the swearing in of the second term of Donald Trump and some of the things that have happened in the last 48 hours may have been late additions to the governor's speech tonight. Aaron Zomber is a great producer, and I want to take the clip of Governor Evers addressing immigration specifically, and again, how that may play out in the state of Wisconsin.
Let's agree to be honest about the fact that the story of our state's success today is told in the labor of over 3 million Wisconsinites, including tens of thousands of workers whose only transgression to date was not having the good fortune of being born in this country. Let's agree that we can continue to be a state that enforces our laws when and if they are broken, but still embraces our shared history and all those who have helped write our Wisconsin story, from our native nations to the generations of immigrants who came after. And let's agree that if you work, obey the law, pay taxes, and contribute to our communities, and play by the rules just like everyone else, you should have a fair shot at continuing to pursue the American dream.
About 3 minutes left in our broadcast, everybody. I want to go to both James Kelly and Lisa Hale. James, first to you in northwest Wisconsin. Again, being on the ground there, a lot of people, whether it's in hospitality in the Chippewa Valley or agriculture, rely on both documented and undocumented immigration. Be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, for sure. There's been a lot of reporting on just how much of the state's agricultural workforce is made up of undocumented immigrants and even legal immigrants. And the way that some of these executive orders are being written leaves a lot to interpretation for people whose documentation status may be a little shaky, maybe a little unconventional.
Lisa Hale in the northeast part of the state, Green Bay area, the Fox Valley. Again, lots of ag workers, particularly on our dairy farms in that part of the state, Outagamie County and the like. How do you see folks in northeast Wisconsin listening to this message tonight from Governor Evers on immigration?
Well, with northeast Wisconsin is such an interesting area because we do have Green Bay and Appleton and Oshkosh and the larger cities in the Fox Valley, but we are so agriculturally leaning when it comes to the outside counties, the Oconto, Shawano, Waupaca, and Washera counties, that we do have immigrants that are working, living, and thriving in our areas. And I know that they are a little bit fearful because they just don't know how they are going to be treated here in this next couple of months or years. So we're watching that and seeing how they are. I know a lot of people are saying protection for the immigrants and are working towards that, but we'll have to wait and see what actually happens.
Let's go back around the horn. 30 seconds each. Your final takeaways from the speech tonight by Governor Evers and the Republican response. James Kelly, we start with you.
It's pretty much what I expected from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He wants to cut spending and he wants to give tax breaks back to the Wisconsin residents. Obviously, there's a lot of school referendums going around over the last couple of elections and a budget surplus. So we'll see how that pans out.
Lisa Hale.
Well, it's the Democrat talking points. That's what we've had in this speech, and also Republican talking points for the rebuttal. It's just more of the same. But Year of the Kid is kind of one of those things that's going to be hard for people to say, I'm not buying into.
Dan Schaefer, 20 seconds. It's yours.
Yeah, Governor Evers always mentions the year of the blank. Last year, it was the year of the worker. This year, the year of the kid. So I imagine that will be very much in focus as we look forward to a fraught budget process in 2025.
On behalf of Dan Schaefer, James Kelly, Lisa Hale, we thank you, and our co-anchor, Pat Kreitlow, tonight, our great producer, Aaron Zomers, and to all of the people behind the scenes making this work, we thank you, and thank you for listening. More updates to all of our Civic Media shows. Stay tuned now for Native Roots Radio right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Own Radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report. Thousands of people have either been told to get out or be prepared to evacuate due to the Hughes Fire in Castaic, California. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna.
We have approximately 31,000 people who are affected by our evacuation orders.
another 23,000 that are impacted by evacuation warnings.
It has exploded in size since it started earlier today, has charred over 9,000 acres, and is 0% contained. L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney.
We have over 4,000 firefighting personnel assigned to the incident, and we had a very robust ground and air response.
The vegetation is bone dry and fueling the fire, with wind that has quickly spread the flames. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is near Castaic Lake.
The dangerous fire conditions will continue through tomorrow. Then weather whiplash. Rain is in the forecast this weekend. With it comes the concern of mudslides.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks game called off due to weather. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks game tonight against the Pelicans has been called off due to the winter weather in New Orleans. The city hit in some areas with up to a foot of snow, making travel for fans in Louisiana treacherous. So the Bucks are returning to Milwaukee. They'll host the Miami Heat at 6:30 tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. And the NBA says the game against the Pelicans will be rescheduled at a later date. College basketball. Badgers returning after losing at UCLA 85-83. Marquette with an easy win over Seton Hall, 76-59. NFL, the Chicago Bears introducing their new head coach, Ben Johnson, who has been the offensive coordinator of the Lions the past three seasons.
I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That's the Bears' new head coach, Ben Johnson, with sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Abbott Elementary, which should include everyone, will be excited to hear that the show has been renewed for a fifth season. News comes on the heels of good winter ratings and a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that drew over 8 million viewers. The show is about an underfunded inner-city Philadelphia public school and has great laughs. Abbott Elementary airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on ABC. Star Wars might be about to get a little more dreamy. Sure, Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy is on board to helm, and people seem happy with the script. But it's the rumors that Ryan Gosling will lead the cast that's gotten everyone excited. If Gosling signs on, the film will start principal photography very soon, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In other Star Wars news, The Mandalorian and Grogu is headed to theaters summer of 2026. Anyone else having trouble keeping these films straight? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered flurries with clearing late, a low close to zero. Sunny and colder tomorrow, a high only of 10 above, but low 20s with sun Friday. Partly sunny but warm for January into the weekend, highs upper 20s. Currently 21 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll review Governor Evers' State of the State address with State Senator Jeff Smith and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Kaylin Haywood.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are back with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin, and our Ho-Chunk friend from Wisconsin, Hoa. And I just got to say, too, for people that are just listening in, because I know we're streaming now on Blue Sky, and just to let people know, Arvina is the first Native American, what we call here in Minnesota, city council member in the city of Madison ever. So we have a Wisconsin Native royalty on the show here on Wednesdays. So welcome back, Arvina.
Thank you. That was quite the introduction, too. Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
I did that all in one breath, too.
Yeah.
From wow. The days of playing trumpet, I took a deep dive. Hit of air, and here I am. But yeah, let's talk about Merge Wisconsin. And again, I accidentally cut you off on the website at the end
of
the last segment, but let people know this is really we're always in a political situation here, and I mean a cycle, I should say, and there's openings now going on with your organization.
Yeah, we I had a lot of people ask about programs and as we were coming up to the inauguration day and since. So we are reopening our applications so we can make our class of 2025 the biggest we can and make sure that we are catching the attention and the time of some pretty amazing leaders across Wisconsin that are getting ready to take that next step and run for office.
Yeah, that is so exciting, really. And it sounds like here, too, in Minnesota, we're going into another election cycle, too. So we have to, again, resist and be awake and promote our relatives out there. I'd love sometime soon for you, if you have the capacity, to bring one of your alumni on the show, and we can talk about her, what she went through. But you were years ago an Emerge person too, right? Alumni.
Yeah. I graduated in the class of 2014, and then started as the executive director in 2022. So. It was a great program. It taught me so much. I know I couldn't have done things that I've done without that kind of knowledge and the network too of really incredible folks who, you know, care about their communities and care about electing people that actually care about their communities, you know? And so it's just a great combination of like technical kind of knowledge and things like learning how to calculate how many doors you need to knock, calculating what your vote number needs to be in order for you to win. Things like, you know, how much time do you need to spend making phone calls to raise the amount of money that you need to win a campaign. But again, also with those introductions of people that are within the Emerge Wisconsin network, whether that's alumna or if it's people that have trained or do campaign work in Wisconsin, those connections, you know, you're making them through this training.
So what does a training consist of? Is it a speech writing? Is it like getting where to get funding, or is it a step-by-step kind of thing?
It really is. It's a 70-hour program, usually over the course of 6 months. We have categories about messaging or like, you know, training modules about things like messaging, how to handle a mail program, you know, how to make your door knocking plan. We teach about strategy and then tactics to execute that strategy. So you're really learning everything like A to Z, like about, you know, deadlines and when is a race big enough that you need to hire a campaign manager, you know, versus doing it yourself. And lots of considerations that people have to make, and especially women have to make when going into the public eye and kind of learning how to, you know, speak with the public and to the public, and how to, you know, make sure that you're getting your message across to the voters.
Right. And your bio is always pretty important, too. You know, where you come from and how much you've done community wise and all those things that maybe as a humble person you don't think of, but Rise will help you get that in order.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we take a look at things and sometimes, you know, women are socialized to be more humble and not brag about things. And so sometimes it takes somebody else looking at your resume, your accomplishments, and have to tell somebody, hey, you are incredible, and I can't believe the things that you've accomplished, for someone to actually believe, oh yeah, I did do that. And I guess that is pretty cool. Right. And also getting comfortable with those kinds of brags, you know, it can be a hard hurdle to get over. So making sure people are they can practice, you know, in a place that's a little safer than just the random public. And then people are able to help, you know, give feedback, and you kind of have a captive audience to beta test things that you might want to try.
So what was interesting, I think last week you mentioned that, what was it, 97% of your last class won their election?
92%.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So again, as we're talking, and I want to just keep on bringing this up because I know a lot of people are in their cars and listen to this show in different ways. How do we get a hold of you? And where's the website?
Yeah, our website is wi.emergeamerica.org. And you can email me at, Arvina, A-R-V-I-N-A, at emergewi.org, and email me if you have questions, if you've ever thought maybe I could be on school board or, you know, that town council or tribal council even. You know, this program is a great one to learn skills and how to present yourself as a not just a viable candidate, but like as someone who is going to be successful in her leadership.
You know, I'm going to switch gears here in the remaining time we have with you, and I want to ask about you. What is your background, and what got you going in politics? And I know you were saying that I believe your father was involved with politics, so it's kind of in your blood. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no, I grew up, my dad, he was a Republican, and he worked for Tommy Thompson. And he was Tommy Thompson's, his tribal liaison, you know, or a policy analyst, that kind of thing. So he kind of worked with the tribes on behalf of the governor. And so I got exposed to a lot of governmental stuff. My mom was a legislator for the Ho-Chunk Nation, for a while as well. So she's been, you know, kind of in the same field, a little different, but it's still adjacent. And you know, when I went to college, I was like half of my fellow incoming freshmen. I'm like, I'm gonna be pre-med. I'm gonna be a doctor. And then I was like, oh God, no, I'm not going to do that. so I didn't always think about. I did think I was going to go more sciencey, but you know, that didn't pan out. But when I came back, I was looking for jobs, and I worked for the state elections board and started getting involved there. And I worked in the state assembly as a page, and that, you know, was an incredible experience to really see how everything works. Like you are watching the sausage being made. And so I've seen the sausage be made. And you know, after I had my daughter, I decided I wanted to, I decided I wanted to be more involved, and volunteered as a communications intern for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And then Act 10 happened, and they said, "Hey, would you be interested in being on staff?" So like paid as a Native organizer for the recall. And I was like, absolutely. And that is where it all began for me. So.
Wow. And then you ran for, it's not called City Council in Madison. It's called
a Common Council. So City of Madison Common Council. I ran for that in 2017 after being very distraught about the first Trump election. And my alder happened to be leaving the office due to the demands of his day job. And so I literally said to myself, like, we can, you know, me and you, Brain, we can sit here and be depressed on the couch and watch Law and Order all day, or we can do something. And so I took out papers and ran and won. So wow. It was exciting.
And then in the meantime, you had some training from Emerge, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I've gotten to do some incredible things. I was a delegate to the 2012 DNC. I got to go again this last year, which was an incredible experience. And getting to meet in 2012, I got to meet like Senator Inouye, you know, who was a tremendous ally to Indian country, and other people that, you know, I'd only seen on TV. That was when I got off the bus and was excited to see Jesse Jackson, because he was right there.
Wow. Yeah, I got a chance to go to the DNC this year, and that was it was electric, really. I mean, that's an overused term, but it was amazing, and I'm glad in my lifetime I was able to experience that.
Absolutely. It was a super, super fun experience, and it could have not been. So hats off to the team that did the convention. It was joyous.
So we got 10 seconds. Bring out that website again. Okay. And your email.
arvina@emergewi.org.
Thank you so much, Arvina. We'll see you next week. And Pini Gigi for all you do for Wisconsin. And our listening audience loves you.
Yay. Well, I love you guys, too. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you soon. This is Native Roots Radio. And up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake. Oh, wow.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
I'm Rachel Schroman, owner of Schroman Law, and I believe you deserve information. Our firm offers free quarterly estate planning seminars at our office in St. Paul. At these seminars, you can learn the basics of estate planning from an attorney to help you determine which estate planning documents will meet your needs and goals in an efficient and cost-effective manner. You can learn more and register at our website, schromanlaw.com/events. That's S-C-H-R-O-M-E-N law.com.
NativeRootsRadio.com/events.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I think I hear a howl from a Timberwolf fan. Hey, we haven't talked in a long time. I know you've slept in a couple times, and then you've done some speeches around the country, and it's great to see you again, Bob.
Yeah, Robert, it's been really busy. And how about everything that's been going on? I mean, there's fires. There's like
snow
there's
in
like
Florida.
Snow in Florida. Yeah. I mean, this is crazy. And then there's this guy like that. This orange guy that just got the president. Listen, Robert, I just want to say real quick, okay? Just here's the thing, okay? Like, I mean, let's be honest. This is an unprecedented power grab by this president, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a reason, everyone, why, you know, the executive, the judicial, and the legislative branches, right, share power for a reason, okay? And it's checks and balances, Robert. And, mm-hmm. you know, that all that signing and all that stuff that he did was just a big act. You know what right. I mean? Because a lot of this stuff is going to be in the courts, like, he can't stop people from being born and not being U.S. citizens. Like, that is like one of the most, and I can't believe people are falling for this, right?
But well, Robert, you know, last time he only passed one bill last time when he was president, and that was to give all the rich people a tax break. That was it. There was nothing else.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, I mean, oh my God, if the courts allow this, God help us. I mean, seriously, like ridiculous. Like that, this is impossible. Everyone, I'm telling you, the solar bear is telling you, this is impossible for this guy to get all this stuff done. It's ridiculous. And just watch how this all plays out. I am telling you, I am right on this. I am absolutely correct on this. And he, maybe a few things, but let's be honest, all this stuff is just, it's a big act, you know, and everybody knows he's the grifter. He's the drifter, right. The grifter guy. You know what I mean? He's the big showman. You know what I mean? So yes. Is he going to make it a little bit more difficult? Absolutely. Is there going to be more time and space? Absolutely. But it's not going to stop anything. In 2 years, the Democrats are going to win back the House. Right. In the Senate, yeah. And then we're going to have probably Wes Moore as a president after that. You know what I mean? And and this will all be just one bad nightmare, and he's not going to get anything done.
Right. Yeah, and I agree. So that's, you know, he did, that's just keep plugging away. And like I said earlier today, we're on Resist Part 2, and we just got to call this BS out, like you just said. We got to call it out.
Yeah. And another thing I want to call out too is what Elon Musk did by raising his arm in the salute of the Nazi salute right. thingy, right?
He did it twice.
And I just want to say something about that. That is unacceptable. That is totally right. unacceptable, especially for what that stands for. That is morally, that is unimaginable that someone would do something like that at a presidential event.
Right.
I mean, that dude lost all credibility doing that, and he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just it's just wrong on so many levels.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Abby.
I was just going to say, I have seen like some people try to explain the reasoning behind why that, you know, would have been seen as okay. And people said, well, he's autistic. He doesn't know better. I know autistic people. Autistic people are very smart. And that is not an excuse at all.
Another thing I've been seeing, Haley and Bob, too, is that, if you think this is okay, try doing that at your work. Literally, do it at your job and see how that goes.
Yeah, people, it's like illegal to do in some countries, and you can get, you know, fined for it and serve jail time. It's like a serious thing.
You know, I put that on my social media, and someone made the comment like, you know, yeah, we all seen it and everything like that. Yes, and you know what? You got to see it again, and you got to see it again, and you got to see it again, and you got to see it again, because that's what Germany does. They teach their people time and time again what happened during World War II. What happened in those concentration camps, right? And what happened with fascism and Nazism, and that is why today, like, Germany is like forever like don't want anything to do with this. And America, you need to wake up. United States of America needs to wake up. You know, it's Spike Lee. Remember Spike Lee used to say that all the time. Yeah. Robert, wake up. You know,
yeah,
that's the name of the show. I'm awake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's interesting, too, because of the J6 that he released, all these people, the Proud Boys, they're flashing their signals again, too. And that's all they got, you know?
And the other thing, too, Robert, is the other thing, you know, all you people that did not think that he was going to follow through on this 2025 thing, or, you know, that plan, whatever he's... I wasn't even paying attention to this, but I know that he had this like plan that he had this big plan about the 2025 plan or whatever like that, whatever that thing is. Hey, people, he's trying to do it. He's trying to do it. You know what I mean? And for everybody thinking out there that, you know, the rest of us were alarmist over this and like we were just like, you know, blowing a false alarm on this. Look at what's happening, Robert, right? He's actually trying to go through with it.
Well, and it's crazy, too. I just have to say that they passed a bill about the border, I believe, just before we got on. And one of the things is, okay, one of Trump's three wives, was American or, you know, from the United States. Everyone else was foreign, including the wife he has now. Elon Musk is from Africa. He's African. And, you know, and the vice president, too, his wife's from another country, too. And it's just like, what? And if you remember, what's really interesting about Hitler was that he was all about the Aryan nation. But Hitler had brown hair and brown eyes. He didn't look like the people he was trying to promote. Just totally bizarre, upside down.
Yeah, absolutely. They teach us to love and hate ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And the other point about this is too, Robert, is like, you know, that's what makes this country so great is that and Turtle Island so great, right? Is the fact that we are a melting pot, that we have all these different colors, you know, from all the people from all over the world. And that's the four direction signal, right? I'm just saying that's what makes this country beautiful. That's what makes us great, that we have all these different people. It is a melting pot, and we have to continue to resist, Robert. And thank God for people like you that have this medium, right? And we got to stop the disinformation. Like disinformation is killing our democracy.
Exactly. Well, hey, drop the microphone, Robert. It's great to see you again. Go Timberwolves, and prayers.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A wildfire in the mountains north of L.A. has rapidly spread to over 9,000 acres, and some 54,000 people are under evacuation orders or warnings. CBS's Jonathan Bigliotti.
Despite hundreds of firefighters on the ground and an arsenal of planes dropping massive amounts of water and retardant, embers pushed by 30-mile-per-hour winds are still igniting trees and thick brush.
Nashville police are investigating a deadly shooting at Antioch High School. Police spokesman Don Aaron says the shooter is identified as a teenage male.
One of the persons that the 17-year-old shot, a female, was transported to Vanderbilt University Medical Center and is deceased.
Another student was injured. Up to 1,500 active duty troops prepare to head to the southern border to strengthen U.S. presence. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Military planes, including C-17s and C-130s, will be used to deport migrants out of the country, starting with 5,000 from El Paso and San Diego.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Community.